Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, as we continue our series in the full armor of God. And today we come to verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. As we consider the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 through 16, and as I said, our focus this morning will be on verse 16. Hear then God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Having heard the word of God, what is your response? Amen. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you are one who is following the Savior today, this means that you have been rescued. You have been rescued from behind enemy lines. You once were a captive of the devil, but the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued you. He has not only rescued you, he has restored you to a right relationship with God, even through his work of living the perfect life of righteousness for you, dying for your sins on Calvary's cross and rising from the dead, that you indeed might have a restored relationship with God. He has redeemed you. He has bought you with a price. And he has recruited you and enlisted you in his army. And this is what we have been focusing on for several weeks as we have been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. As one then who has been rescued, restored, redeemed, recruited, and enlisted in the army of the Lord, you are now called to engage. To engage as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are to do this, you need, first of all, the complete power of Christ, and secondly, the complete armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way that you will be able to stand. This is the only way that you will be able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. This is the only way that you will remain standing on the battlefield at the last day. And so, having put on then the belt of truth, having a sincere commitment to Christ and the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having a commitment to walk in paths of righteousness, and having put on the gospel shoes of preparation, being prepared to speak the gospel to all whom you come into contact with, we come now to the shield of faith. It's in verse 16 that we read God's word, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And here today, the Lord calls you to take up and to use the shield of faith in the Christian warfare. The Lord calls you to take up and to use the shield of faith in the Christian warfare. And so we want to look at, first of all, the image of the shield today, then the material of the shield today, and lastly, the use of the shield of faith. And so as Christ calls you, you who are indeed professing him, as Christ calls you to take up and use the shield of faith in the Christian warfare, first of all, we want to consider the image of the shield. What is the image that God sets before you and me in this shield? Well, certainly it seems as though the Roman foot soldier shield is perhaps the pattern which is set before you and me here in verse 16. The Roman shield, its size and the protection which it afforded was significant. In fact, the root word in the Greek language, which undergirds shield, is the same root word which undergirds the word door. So you can imagine the size then of this shield which God is talking about. It's not a small little round buckler, but we're talking about grabbing a door and taking it into battle, right? It is a large shield. And as we think about the Roman shield, it was approximately 4 feet tall and approximately 30 inches in width. It was typically curved on the edges to be able to not only deflect a front-on assault, but also to deflect at least partially an assault from the side. One of the implications of this shield as we think about its imagery, well, the shield was for the defense of the whole body. Its size was meant to protect the whole body of the foot soldier, not just a part of the body. But also the shield was for the defense of the rest of the soldier's armor. We've already been looking at various pieces of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes. We can think of the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit as well. But this shield not only protects the whole body, it protects every other piece of armor. And that is not insignificant. Everything is behind this shield, which was used in battle. But when we think of the image of the shield, there's a further truth which we can glean from its use, particularly by the Roman army. It was used for the moving of troops, for the moving of a cohort. Well, how so? Well, it was used in tandem, in connection with other soldiers. So there were particularly two different formations which the Romans used, with the shield being in place. There was the phalanx formation, where you had soldiers that were, as it were, shaped in an arrowhead, and they had shields all along the front locked together, and they moved forward in order to penetrate enemy lines. There was also the testudo formation, or the tortoise formation. What was that? Well, you can imagine that you had a cohort, you had 100 soldiers, you had 10 soldiers across the front. That is, they were all across the front. And then you had 10 rows of 10 soldiers, and all of the outside soldiers would hold their shields in place in the front and also to the sides. And then the ones that were in the middle would hold their shields above. And you can understand why it was called a tortoise movement, that you had a shell protecting the movement of the troops, the movement of the cohort. And so the shield isn't only then for individual protection. The shield is also to be used in conjunction with others in the army. And this imagery, again, is very important when we think about the fact that we do not merely serve Christ as individuals, but we serve Christ together as the army of God, and that we are to be ones standing side by side with the shield of faith. And so here then, as the Lord calls you to take up and to use the shield of faith, we glean something from the imagery of the shield, that it is not only for the defense of the whole body, not only for the defense of all of the armor which is behind the shield, but it is for the use of not just you individually, but in connection with your fellow soldiers. This leads then to a second point this morning, as we continue to look at verse 16, as the Lord calls you to take up and use the shield of faith. We want to look secondly at the material of the shield. The material of the shield. What is the shield made of? What is the shield made of? Now, if we only had the Roman shield as our exemplar, we might conclude that the shield of faith is a shield which is made up of the material of faith. That is, that faith is the material of the shield. And yet, I think that this would be an error of interpretation, because we have the whole of Scripture to actually help us to identify what the material of the shield is made up of. It's not made up of faith as we search the Scriptures, but the shield is indeed made up of the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. This is what we heard in our call to worship this morning, that the Lord is our shield. This is what we professed in our profession of faith today from Psalm 18, that the Lord is our shield. And this is something which is consistently declared throughout Scripture. For example, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, God speaks to Abram and he says, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield." Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty." Psalm 3 and verse 3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head." Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer." Listen, "my shield and the one in whom I take refuge." One more Bible verse, Proverbs 30 and verse 5. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him." There's the shield of faith. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. So when we read of the shield of faith, what we are in fact being told is that it is faith in the Lord as our shield. He is the one who protects our whole person. He is the one who protects our whole armor. It is He who enables us together to advance as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, to indeed move the troops. And so the shield of faith, its material is indeed the Lord, and it is faith which puts this shield in place. But what kind of faith? What kind of faith puts this shield in place for you, this shield of protection? Well, it's not just historical faith. What do I mean by historical faith? Well, you could imagine 250 years ago that the Declaration of Independence was signed on July the 4th, 1776. And you don't even have to perhaps imagine that, because you don't think that that's fake news. You think that that's real news, that it can be trusted. And so you have historical faith in the Declaration of Independence having been signed 250 years ago this July the 4th. And so you believe it. Well, some people treat their Christianity like that. They believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and that He indeed went about Galilee doing good, and that He even died on a Roman cross, and that He, on the third day, even rose from the dead. But they believe those facts with a historical faith, in the same way that they believe that the Declaration of Independence was written 250 years ago. But that's not the kind of faith which puts the Lord as your shield, which indeed puts the shield into place. No, it is rather a justifying faith which puts the Lord in place. What do I mean by that? Well, it's not just merely believing the facts about history, but it's a receiving and resting upon Christ alone for your salvation, which puts this shield, the Lord, in place for your protection. There was a missionary in the 19th century by the name of John Peyton, and he served in the New Hebrides Islands off the north coast of Australia. And these islands were notorious for tribes which practiced cannibalism. They ate one another. That's what they did when they had a conflict with one another via warfare. And so John Peyton went there as a missionary to proclaim the gospel. He strapped on the gospel shoes and went forth to proclaim Jesus Christ. And as he was there, he had to, first of all, translate the scriptures into the language of these natives. And he struggled for quite a time trying to figure out how to communicate, how to translate the word faith into the native tongue of these cannibalistic tribes. And as he was wrestling with that, praying about that, trying to figure out how to communicate what faith was, just then, one of the tribesmen ran into his cabin, and he was panting as if he had been running a long distance, and he plopped himself down in a chair. And this native said, "It is good to rest my whole weight on this chair." And John Peyton said, "That's it. That's the faith which God calls forth from his people. To rest your whole weight on Jesus Christ." And so when we speak about the shield of faith being put into place by justifying faith, it is a resting your whole weight upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this resting of your whole weight on the Lord Jesus Christ isn't just for justification, but it is also for sanctification. It is also for preservation. It is also for fighting. Justifying faith, sanctifying faith, persevering faith, fighting faith. I love what the Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 14 and paragraph 2. It says this: "By faith, a Christian believes to be true whatsoever God says in his word. Faith then yields obedience to God's commands, trembles at his threatenings, embraces God's promises for this life and that which is to come. But the principal acts of saving faith are accepting, receiving, and resting upon Christ alone for justification, for sanctification, and eternal life." Accepting, receiving, and resting your whole weight on Christ. For justification, the beginning of the Christian life. For sanctification, the ongoing walking as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And for eternal life, all the way to the end. Oh yes, the shield of faith then is that which is put into place by receiving and resting daily upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, the Lord defends our whole body, our head, our conscience, our affections, our desires, and our will. The Lord defends all the other pieces of armor as well, as we are resting upon Christ, leaning upon him for justification, sanctification, preservation, and fighting. And it's interesting, as you look at verse 16, there's a certain preeminence that's given to this piece of armor. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, it's possible that this could be translated in addition to the other pieces of armor, but I don't think that gets at the heart of it. What God is saying here is, above all, over all the other pieces of your armor, you need this shield of faith in place. The Lord as your shield, put into place as you rest upon Him, as you lean upon Him. We might wonder why there's a certain preeminence given to faith in Scripture, and there is, from Genesis to Revelation. Well, it's because faith is a receptive grace. Faith receives. It's interesting, faith doesn't give, faith receives. It's the empty hand which receives from God. Faith, we might say, is a self-denying grace because it doesn't look to self. It doesn't look to itself. It looks away from self and looks unto the Lord and His gracious provision in Jesus Christ. In fact, as we search the Scriptures, faith fuels, listen, faith fuels every other grace of the Christian life. It's not only the lone instrument of our justification, it is the great instrument whereby we receive enabling grace from Christ for sanctification. Think about it. There'll be no repentance from sin without faith. There will be no love to God without faith. There'll be no patient endurance without faith. There'll be no joy in the Lord without faith. There will be no righteous living without faith. Faith fuels every one of these graces in the Christian life. And in this way, we might even say faith defends all the other graces. It, as it were, defends every other grace. Because when faith fails, all the other graces fall flat to the ground. And so when we think then about the material of the shield of faith, we recognize then that faith puts into place the Lord, who is our shield. He is the one who protects our whole person and enables us to lock arms with one another to move forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan has a goal, and his chief goal is to hamstring faith, to paralyze faith. He indeed is the one who wants to sideline you and debilitate you as a follower of the Lord. He knows, if you're a true Christian, he knows that he cannot snatch you out of the hand of the Savior. But he does all that he can to debilitate you, to sideline you, to hamstring you, and to make you useless in the army of the Lord. This is Satan's design. And yet faith puts into place the Lord as our shield against these very attacks of the devil. Confidence in God's word, confidence in God's Son, puts into place the shield of faith. And so the Lord calls you. You who name the name of Jesus Christ today, He calls you to take up and to use the shield of faith in the Christian warfare. We've looked at the imagery of the shield to quench, to extinguish, that's to extinguish that which is fired against you in the Christian war. The shield of faith is used to quench and extinguish that which is fired against you from the devil in the Christian war. Now, verse 16 doesn't only say that faith is used to quench that which is fired against you, but it says that it is used to quench all that the wicked one may fire against you. Not just 75%, not just 83%, not just 95 or 99%, but all. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the darts of the wicked one. And so it's used to extinguish and quench whatever is shot against you. And it is used to extinguish and quench everything which is shot against you. And it is particularly used, the shield of faith, to extinguish, to quench the most strong things which are fired against you. Faith is that which quenches the worst arrows that the devil can muster. Not just ordinary temptations, but even the worst temptations, the fiery darts, the arrows which are dipped, that are dipped in flammable material, set on fire and shot at you. The fire-tipped arrows used in a siege, the burning arrows that don't only pierce, but they set on fire whatever they pierce, doubly, doubly dangerous arrows. And we're told in verse 16 that the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked ones. Well, what are these fiery arrows? If we're going to use the shield of faith, we need to have some sense of what these fiery darts are, which are shot against us as those who belong to Jesus Christ by the devil. What are these fiery arrows? Well, maybe the children could follow with me here. We can think about the ABCs. The ABCs of these fiery darts, these fiery arrows. The first begins with the letter A. What does Satan fire against you as a follower of Jesus Christ? He fires against you false accusations. He accuses. There's the A. False accusations. After all, he is the accuser of the brethren, and he is the slanderer of God. And he accuses you so that you would think you're not worthy of the love of the Lord in Jesus Christ, or that you've sinned too far and you've sinned yourself out of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you indeed have no hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he accuses you. He dredges up your guilt and your sins, which you indeed have committed, and he sets them before your face, and he says, "Do you really think that God can accept you? Do you really think that God would love a wicked sinner like you?" And his intent is to make you despair. My sins are too great, and God's grace is too small. And Satan whispers in your ear. He dredges up those sins which have been nailed to the cross, paid for already. And he says, "Look what you've done again. Look at you. You say you belong to Jesus, but it's not true." And so he accuses you. He accuses you, and he has the intent of bringing you to despair. So this is the A, the first fiery dart which the devil uses against followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're walking in despair, are you of any use to the Lord? Are you able to be used by God? Are you able to actually advance the cause of Christ? I think you know the answer. If you're walking in despair, if Satan can falsely accuse you and bring you to despair, he has effectively sidelined you. What about the B? What about the B? Well, Satan baits you. He doesn't only falsely accuse you, he baits you to be unfaithful to the Lord and thereby deny him. He baits you to be unfaithful to the Lord and thereby deny him. If his false accusations are meant to bring you to despair, his baiting of you is meant to bring you to deny the one who bought you. And how does he do that? Well, through the lust of the flesh. He tempts you with that which temporarily delights the senses and the affections. He baits you to say, it's better to feel good now than to wait for far-off promises which God has given. And he indeed sets you up to deny the Lord by your unfaithfulness to him. And think how effective this is. Think how effective it was with King David. as David fell tragically into sin with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah murdered. Do you remember what the Lord said to David after many months when he confronts David in his sin? You have given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme my name. And that's what the devil wants when he baits you. He wants you to give cause for the enemies of Christ to blaspheme him. That by your unfaithfulness, whether it's falling into sin like David, whether it's denying the Lord like Peter, he wants to bait you into denying the Lord by your unfaithfulness. But what about the C? A, B, C, right? He falsely accuses you. There's one of the fiery darts. He baits you to deny the Lord by your unfaithfulness to him. But the C, what does Satan shoot at you with the C? He wants to cover, to conceal from your eyes the Lord himself. He wants to conceal from your eyes the Lord. You go through some hardship, some difficulty in your life, some trial. You're just going through the grind of life on a day-to-day basis. You're seeking to live out your life as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan wants to whisper in your ear, God doesn't really care for you. God isn't really present in the midst of your circumstances. In fact, this scenario in your life is too difficult for God. And he wants to conceal from you God's goodness. He wants to conceal from you God's love. He wants to conceal from you God's wisdom. He wants to conceal from you God's faithfulness. He wants to conceal from you God's power. And he wants, in blinding your eyes to the goodness, love, faithfulness, wisdom, and power of God, in concealing that from your eyes, he wants you to walk in murmuring, complaining, grumbling. He wants you to walk in fear and distrust and anger. He wants you to walk in resentment and selfishness and discontentment and envy. He wants you to walk in greed and pride and in covetousness. He wants you to believe the lie that you must fend for yourself. You must provide for yourself. You must look out for yourself. And you must satisfy yourself, because God is not able to defend you, to provide for you, to look out for you, and to satisfy you. After all, look at your life. And Satan is active. He is active to not only despair you, to not only have you deny the Lord, but to cause you to doubt whether God is really enough, whether he really can fulfill the promises which he has made to you in Jesus Christ. And these are the fiery darts of the evil one. And it is the shield of faith which must be raised to deflect these fiery darts, not just to deflect them, but to extinguish them, to quench them, so that they do not find a foothold in your life whereby you despair or deny the Lord or doubt the Lord's goodness, wisdom, faithfulness, and power for you. The shield of faith, indeed, must be raised in order to combat this despairing, denying, and doubting. These ABCs of false accusation, baiting, and concealing Christ from you. So, how does this work? How does taking up the shield of faith against these things work? Well, let me suggest to you several things. Faith, in the face of these fiery darts, first of all, confesses. Confesses. What do I mean? Well, think with me of Psalm 28 and verse 7. faith confesses the truth. The Lord is my strength and my shield. If you are going to have the Lord in place as your shield, faith must confess. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Now note, faith is put on display. Faith is acted. Faith is exercised by knowing the Word of God. And so faith confesses. Faith confesses, the Lord is my strength and my shield. But faith also prays. Faith prays. How does faith pray? Consider Psalm 33 and verse 18. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. And here's the prayer. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Faith confesses, the Lord is my strength and my shield, and faith prays. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Faith prays, Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. So faith confesses, faith prays, faith moves forward. Faith moves forward. How so? Well, think of Psalm 18. It was our profession of faith today. But think of Psalm 18, where God says, through the psalmist, through David, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. You see, faith moves forward. It doesn't just confess. It doesn't just pray. It moves forward. I can run against a troop. I can leap over a wall. You have given the shield of your salvation to me, and your gentleness has made me great. Faith moves forward. Faith confesses. Faith prays. Faith moves forward. And faith cries out in the midst of the battle. Faith cries out in the midst of the battle. Think of Psalm 35. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. It's a cry in the midst of the battle. I'm being attacked. Oh Lord, I cry out to you. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Or think of Psalm 84 and verse 9. A cry in the midst of the battle. A cry when the temptations are hot. A cry when it feels like we are under siege. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Look upon the face of your Messiah. You see, faith cries out. Our hope isn't in ourselves. Our hope is in the Lord, our Messiah, our anointed one. And so faith cries out, O God, behold our shield. Christ is our shield. Messiah is our shield. Look upon the face of your anointed one and help. Protect, quench, deflect. But faith grabs hold and feeds on Christ through the Word. Faith fetches strength from Christ to move forward. And to stand in the midst of the battle. It is here that we need to indeed exercise faith. That the Lord is the one who is our shield. And so, the challenge for you and for me, even today in taking up the shield of faith and using it, is to be ones who are renewing our minds in the Word of God so that we have the truth at our disposal, which connects us to Christ, who is our shield. One author put it this way, God himself is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Faith lays hold of the promises of God in times of doubt and depression and despair. And faith lays hold of the power of God in times of temptation. I love what Martin Luther said many years ago. He said this shield, as Paul himself points out, is a faith which clings to the word of Christ. It is a faith which takes hold of the Savior, and it is a faith which answers the devil in this way. Though I be a sinner and have an imperfect life, both in what I have committed and what I have omitted, yet there is a perfectly holy one, clean and pure, who has given himself for me and has died for me. And that man was given to me by the Heavenly Father himself, that he may be my own with all his holiness and all his righteousness. And him, O devil, you dare not touch. Him, O devil, you dare not condemn. Wherever there is a defect in my work and life which exposes me to your assaults, there my Christ must help and fight for me. O devil, you cannot condemn him. Christ is our shield, and it is faith which rests upon him for justification, for sanctification, for preservation and perseverance, and for fighting and advancing the kingdom. And that's why it is overall, because it is Christ who is our shield. Rescued from behind enemy lines, restored to a right relationship with God by the redemptive price of Christ's blood, recruited and enlisted in the army of God. Now, I don't know if that describes everybody here. If it doesn't describe you, I plead with you today to find your all in Jesus Christ for the first time, to call upon the name of the Lord in faith, believing that he is enough, that he is the Savior of the chief of sinners, and that there is the gift of everlasting life to be found in him. I plead with you, cry out to him today. He will not turn you away. It is the Spirit who works by his word, through his word today to call you. Call upon him today. There are others here who've already been rescued from behind enemy lines, restored, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, recruited and enlisted in the army. Rest upon Christ. Actively rest. What an oxymoron. Actively rest upon Christ to be your shield. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word to us today. Grant that it may bear fruit in our lives, that our hope would be in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we would know that Jesus Christ is ours and we are his. Oh, gracious God, equip us for the task which you set before us, to be ones who are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.